Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through his son, Jesus. Let's listen to the message.
So, just in case you are unaware, today's service is themed oil, bread, and wine. Hallelujah. And it is because today is the last day of our 21-day fast. We've been praying, waiting on the Lord every day for the past 21 days, since 10th of January till today, the 30th. And we've been praying every day, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., except on Saturdays, where we're doing six-hour prayer stretches. And the reason we were doing that is because we said, for us, this is not just another church activity. This is not just another church event. The 21-day fast was not just another event. It was put and set aside so that we could seek the face of God, so that we will know what we will do for the rest of the year. Amen. Everybody with me? So fast forward was put, number one, so that we, after, you know, the festivities, after the celebrations where we stuffed ourselves with food and, you know, parties and food and drink and all of that, but we are starting the year, and it's important that we go into the year with spiritual insight, with spiritual intelligence. Amen. So we set aside and consecrated 21 days where we said, Lord, we are not going to be distracted by anything, even though you've given us permission to enjoy some of these things. But Lord, we'll put them aside and seek your face for 21 days. And for those of you who partook of it, how many of us, just show of hands, God spoke to you in these past 21 days? Honestly, if you are on the home group, the testimonies have been coming forth every day. A person's dad who could not walk for months, we prayed for him, and she shared the testimony of him walking. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Doors opening for so many people. And I said that we are only just getting started. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, we are just getting started. I gave the assignment to our leaders and some of the people here. I said that they should read the book of Acts. Why is there a disconnect between what we see in the book of Acts and in present day? And my prayer is that the Tribe Abuja becomes a modern day expression of the early church movement. Hallelujah! That we become a modern day expression of the early church movement, where people, regardless of who they were, that all they did was believe in Jesus and signs and wonders followed them. Glory to God. Why is it that Christians are the ones surprised by signs and wonders? It's literally told by our Savior that if you believe me, signs and wonders will follow you. How comes we are the ones surprised by testimonies? How comes we are the ones surprised by God doing great things? But the tribe, we've entered the season where we'll continue trusting God. Hallelujah. Amen. My prayer is that everybody at the tribes enter into their prophetic destiny. But more than that, I pray that everybody, that their spiritual gift will be activated. God is not interested in raising one superstar. God wants that his children enter the fullness of their callings. Hallelujah. So my prayer is that over the next few days, weeks, months, the rest of the year, that many of you, you'll start hearing the voice of the Lord. You'll start hearing God calling you to enter into your ministry gifts. Glory to God. That you'll enter the fullness of all that God has called you to be and to do. Amen. Amen. So we called and themed this service oil, bread, and wine. Oil because after we read can't remember the particular day, but the devotional for that day was set apart from Acts 13. And Acts 13, 1 to 3, we see that the Bible tells us that while the apostles, it said in the church in Antioch, they were teachers, apostles, prophets, and while they were worshiping, praying, and fasting, that the Spirit of the Lord said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work for which I've called them to do. And the Bible says they continued praying and fasting, and then they now laid their hands on them and sent them forth. Hallelujah. So today, by the grace of God, for as many of you that want, because I said that even if Even if you did not join the fast, if you believe that God is moving in this house and you want to be part of it, the blessings that everybody has been enjoying, everybody will partake of it. Hallelujah. So as for many as avail themselves, I will symbolically be putting oil, laying hands on you, commissioning you to your ministry. Amen. Amen. So we'll be doing that very soon. Then we'll be taking the communion, and then we're going to be having a love feast, a party. Hallelujah. Amen. If you did not bring food, we are judging you. But it's for everybody. Don't worry. Everybody will get. Abi, it will reach everybody, hopefully. All right. So can we bow our heads? Father, we thank you for today. I pray that as I go into your word, that you speak to me and through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is episode 5 of the series Ambitions. How many of us were blessed by Dr. Charles last week? Yeah, so I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that. And the week before, how many of us were blessed by Pastor Eva? Yes. And the week before Pastor Eva, how many of us were blessed by Pastor Jesse? Finally, thank you. All right, I want to encourage you to go back, if you've not listened, to go to our podcast or our YouTube to study or listen to what we shared. Basically, we are saying that for many of us who are going into 2022, we all have plans, we have visions, we have dreams, we have ambitions, right? But many of our ambitions are defined from a place of hurt, from trauma. So you want to be successful because you want to show your in-laws. You want to be successful because your father or your mother said you will never be successful in life. You want to marry a particular kind of person to show your ex. You want certain things in your life because your definition of ambition now is now from a place of hurt, of trauma, of sin. But we are saying that we want to define our ambitions now from the lens of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So for as many of you that want to be wealthy and prosperous is a great thing. But what is the essence? What's the reason you want wealth? For the child of God, wealth is what? A tool. It's something that you should steward. You're basically a channel. The children of God are blessed to be blessings. It's not so that we can enter some fake lists. Are you with me? And many other things. So today I'm going to be teaching on something I'm calling expanding territories. Hallelujah. Amen. Episode 5, which is the last episode, is expanding territories. Can we open to 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10 very quickly? You just say yes. Are we there? 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. Says now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my borders, or enlarge my territory, or expand my territory, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. Hallelujah. And God granted what he asked. So, we read something during one of the devotionals about the person of Joshua. Joshua was commissioned to lead the people of Israel into their inheritance. He was the one anointed to take over from Moses. And now, finally, after 40 years, or after some time that Moses had passed, the Lord now commissioned Moses' assistant, the one who had been with Moses from the beginning, and told him that you are the one to lead these people into the promised land. And Joshua gathers all the nation, and they go on this journey where they are defeating nation after nation so that they can take territory which the Lord said was theirs. Hallelujah. I've been thinking about recently that if the gospel is true, it will not just affect our lives, but the lives of other people. The gospel, if true, will transform cultures, society. the gospel, if true, will transform nations. Do you know secular historians, they agree that one of the things that revolutionized sex in the ancient times was the appearing of Christianity. Because in the time of antiquity in Rome, sex was just, if you read the history of how Rome treated sex, it was perverse, it was used, it was anyhow. And basically, if you think about it, it favored more the men than women. Because in Rome, any especially the elite, a man, let me not go down that road, but basically, Christians revolutionized sex. And basically, because they were preaching that your body is a temple, no longer do you have to give your bodies as worship. Like so many new things that was alien to them, and it started to affect the politics of the time. Till about 200 years later, so Christianity started on the fringes where it just looks like this weird cult. Then later they now started persecuting them because what they were teaching was affecting not just the people but the economics of the place. Because imagine, you know, Paul entered a city like Ephesus and he preached, and people were dropping their idols, and the people that were making the idols said, "Omo, we are not going to make money from this thing. We need to end this guy." So the gospel was literally affecting the economics of the place. So it was not just transforming lives, it was defunding the devil. Are you with me? It was transforming society. And I believe the gospel should go that deep. But I want to just talk about, in my view, four viewpoints that I see Christians use to see how the gospel should engage with society. And in my notebook is somewhere. I don't know where I dropped it, or it's behind, I'm not sure. Anyway, so number one is, I don't see a black notebook with a pen. So the first one is dominionism. So many of us are aware of that one. So Pentecostal charismatics teach on this thing called the seven mountain theology, or the seven mountains of influence. How many of us have heard that before, right? And the teaching basically probably is about 20, 30 years old, but basically is that Christians are to identify their calling on different mountains that make up society. So they say government, family, education, arts and entertainment, right? Science, and there are seven mountains. And the thing is, depending on who is teaching, it's always morphing. It's always changing. But basically, according to them, there are seven mountains of influence. You guys should just chill. Don't worry. I'm good. That was deliberate. I was testing you guys. Anyway, so basically, seven mountains of influence. Sorry, Ini. seven mountains of influence, right? And but the thing now kind of changed from, the language started changing from, we need to influence these spheres or mountains of society, to we need to take over these mountains. But, and I don't necessarily believe in that, because the fruit of that teaching was what we saw last year, January, at the U.S. Capitol, where people believed that Donald Trump was anointed by God to redeem the Christians. I don't hold that view. And I believe that God was using that to do something. As much as God has called us to engage in politics and governance, now, before you start saying, I know, because once you just start mentioning things, some people just say, oh, you're a Democrat, you believe in killing of this. I'm teaching on seven mountains now. But I'm saying that it's now morphed from we need to influence to we need to take over. So it now became like a political Christian movement. And we've tried that before. When the Catholic Church took over Rome, and you know the story, it didn't turn out well. History, Christendom at the time did not turn out well. Are you with me? Because human beings will be human beings. So for many of us, when we say God has called us to take over mountains, what you're thinking of doing is, for instance, if someone is in arts and entertainment, you're thinking of displacing a Don Jazzy. You're thinking of displacing, who are the egg buns in there? An Olamide or whatever. Who? African Giants, as he calls himself, right? You're thinking of taking out those people. That's not what God is saying. So that's, there's dominionism. There's what I call separationism or isolationism. Is this live? Isolationism. What I call that, where people, Christians, will say, no, God has called us to be separate. God has called us to be holy. So the fruit of that is now they separate themselves from engaging culture entirely. So they don't listen to any kinds of music. So you know there are denominations like that. Don't listen to any kind of music. Don't wear certain kinds of clothes. Don't go to certain kinds of areas. Do not engage in culture at all. Yes, God has called us to be separate and holy. But you and I know that our own righteousness does not make us more righteous. Self-righteousness does not make you more righteous. Are you with me? And that the holiness we must have is not one that we will create for ourselves. So there are denominations now that are trying to correct this 30, 40 years later. Because they separated themselves from culture. There was a Jewish sect called the Qumrans, who they wanted to keep themselves pure, holy, separate. And we are told that they probably existed during the time of Jesus. So in wanting to wait for the Messiah by keeping themselves pure and holy, they went into the wilderness. And some historians say they were probably around when Jesus, the Messiah, showed up. But because they wanted to be separate from culture, they missed the coming of the Messiah. So there's dominionism, there's isolationism, there is there's something called a Kuiperianism. So a man called Abraham Kuiper, he was a pastor, theologian, journalist, educator, and so many, and the prime minister of Netherlands, one man. He's a mentor. Honestly, he helped lead the new Calvinist movement or Reformed movement in Netherlands. But his own theology was that the whole earth is the Lord's, and God wants us to redeem every sphere of society. He has a popular quote that says that every inch of earth, God is screaming for it. Or I'm paraphrasing, but that God wants to claim every inch of earth. Are you with me? So he had this view that Christians should enter society. Hallelujah. Let me pull up the fourth one very quickly. Everybody's tracking with me? All right. I've not lost anyone yet. Then the last one is called the Two Kingdom Theology. The Two Kingdom Theology. So in this Two Kingdom Theology, basically is that we are like the Israelites that were in Babylon. So we are exiles living in Babylon. And to an extent, it's true. You know, Peter, his letters, he writes to the exiles. So like literally after, you know, the persecution in Jerusalem, the Christians were told they spread, right? So he was writing to the exiles, but for us as well, in many ways, you know, the world, its systems, the book of Revelations put it as Babylon, great Babylon, right? And we that were still here, we are seen as exiles. So the Bible, or people that hold to this theology, is that there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of men, you know, Babylon and Bethel, or Babylon and Zion, right? So, but how should the Christians function in Babylon? How Daniel and the Hebrew boys functioned, and how Jeremiah told the children of Israel that they should stay, they should plant, they should get married, they should build, right? So there's this two kingdom theology that we are exiles in Babylon. There is Kuiperianism, which is the whole earth belongs to the Lord and we should redeem it. There is Dominionism, which means there are seven mountains of influence and that we are called to dominate it. Then there is, what was the last one? Isolationism, which we are called to just be separate, do not engage with the world, be pure and holy. But I think there's some, they're not all, it's not like they're all wrong, but I think there's something we can all just mix and get and run with it. Amen. And I think to an extent that your theology of how you engage the world depends on where you live. So for instance, a city like Abuja, or urban cities like Abuja, Lagos, how does the gospel look? What should the gospel look like when it's lived out in our lives? I believe that God has called us out of the world, but to go in. Hallelujah. I believe that he has called us and separated us for himself so that we can go in, just as he said in Acts 13, the Holy Spirit says, set apart from me, what? Paul and Barnabas, so that they will go and do the work. So they did not go to Jerusalem. They went to Gentile cities. They went to Ephesus. Do you know Ephesus served the god of Artemis? And at the Artemisian priestesses and prophetess, they used to, it was basically, they worshipped with sex. So they were not afraid of going into these spaces. They were not afraid of going into the wild. Amen. We are not called to just isolate ourselves and wait for the coming of the Lord. Like, and I'm keeping myself pure, I'm keeping myself holy, and you don't engage from the world. Even Jesus, when he was praying his high priestly prayer in John 17, he said, Lord, I'm praying that you keep them. I'm not saying that you should take them out of the world, but that while they are in the world, that you keep them. Hallelujah. So how then do we affect society? I believe that God has called us to go into spaces to, in essence, to take territories for Christ. Amen. I want us to have, we've defined holy ambitions. Now, holy in this sense is separate, is consecrated, right? So your ambitions this time around, you're not trying to advance your career, advance your business because you want some kind of worldly fame or accolades. Those things, as all of you know, fade. So we must redefine our ambitions and see that we are working here on earth, we are representing Christ because he has called us to. So that when the applause doesn't come from men, we know that our Father still applauds us and he's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. So holy ambitions. And secondly, I said that God wants us to have holy violence. Everyone say holy violence. Jesus said that from the day of John the Baptist until now, that the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence, what, they take it by force. I told you that there is no kind, there's no such thing as a kind tyrant. I was reminded in preparation for this thing, how many of us remember Pinky and the Brain? Don't you just love his persistence? Said Pinky, Brain, what are you, what's he say? What are we going to do tomorrow? Same thing we do every night. And what is that? Try to take over the world. Till the show ended. Ambition. And probably for me, because that was our first introduction to ambitious villains. Was Brain a villain? Kind of? Maybe. Anyway. But, you know, there is this... there's no such thing as a kind tyrant. There's no tyrant that walks up to your place and say, please, can you give me your land? Please, can you leave so that I can take over? From Alexander to Attila the Hun to Genghis Khan to Napoleon to Adolf Hitler, all these people, all these persons, they warred. They took, they killed billions of people so that they could have. We are told by historians that Genghis Khan at the time ruled 25% of the earth's population and that he had killed 10% of the world to get there. Adolf Hitler said he wanted to build a 1,000-year Reich. But we know how his plans fell. The British Empire at some point said they wanted to build an empire where the sun never sets. Where are they now? They are barely holding on to, you know, power. And countries like, was it Barbados? That just said they are no longer, we are not doing again, get out. But you get, right? All human beings will always have these ambitions. But we, I believe that God has called us to be, if not, not equally ambitious, but even more ambitious. Because God is crying out and he's saying that who will redeem the earth? Who will redeem these lost people? Who will redeem the sons of men who are entering into eternity not knowing me? So God wants to partner with us that will have an ambition and holy violence that we take war, we go to battle in prayer and prophecy, redeeming the earth, redeeming lost sons. Glory to God. And the third thing I want to say is holy imaginations. Everyone say holy imaginations. So in Revelations 4, the Lord invites John and says, come up hither and see what is to come. We know the story of Abraham and Lot in Genesis 13. Abraham was growing so wealthy, Lot was growing so wealthy to the point that his men started to have clashes. So Abraham said, listen, you are my nephew. I don't want issues between family members. I don't want quarrels. Why don't we choose where we will go? You just choose anywhere. Anywhere you say you'll go, I'll go the opposite direction. So Lot, the Bible tells us that Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked. Let's read it. It says, Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked. And he saw that the Genesis 13. So from verse 10, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Said, so Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus, they separated from each other. Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as from Sodom, just because he wanted no issues with his nephew. Said, now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Hallelujah. Holy imaginations. I believe that God is calling us and inviting us to see as he sees. Lot looked and saw that what? The land towards the east was well watered. He did not know that there was trouble waiting for him. That, you know, Christians, even our generation, we're starting to, you know, there's something like territorial spirits. Some of you don't want to agree. It's true. We're not going to that yet. But some things, as you think the grass is green on that side, you don't know if it's carpet grass. You don't know if it's a painting. Before you go anywhere, ask the Lord to open your eyes. Before you enter into certain engagements, certain relationships, it's not just the enticement of what could come from it. Some of us know and have been burnt from business relationships that you know you should have never entered into. Emotional relationships that you should have never entered into. That it just looked nice. The grass on that side looked green. And that was because Lot was looking with his own eyes. But said, the Lord said to Abraham, what? Lift up your eyes. Where Lot is going, where he has not gone, where you've never been, I am giving you all of it. Amen. Lift up your eyes. And the Lord told me when I was coming here today that for many of us, God needs to cleanse our imaginations. Because when he says promises over us, when he says things over us, it's hard for us to see ourselves as God sees us. So for many of us, the Lord is still dealing with things. For instance, there are so many of you still struggling with the trauma of your separation probably from your parents, and you're thinking that I will never have a godly home. I will never have a godly partner. I will never be able to be a good parent. You probably don't mount it, but it's there. I will never be great in life because decades ago, someone said that you may never amount to anything. So I believe that God wants to redeem our imaginations, and we have holy imaginations. And what does that mean? It means that we start to see as he sees. God invited Abraham and told him that he should count the stars in the sky and said that as many as you count, that will be your children, the nations God is giving you. And what did Abraham say? He couldn't count. Then the Lord said, as many as the stars in the heavens, your children will be like that. Do you know God is inviting you for more? Everybody say more. God is inviting you for more, but you'll only be able to participate in more if you're able to see it, if you're able to stretch your mind to God-like dimensions, if you're able to enter into the presence of God and make him see as he sees. You're asking God to open your eyes to see so that you can see as God sees. Hallelujah. So Jabez, from the text we read, he said that there's a disconnect between the God I serve and my name. But I know that you are able to change my story. He said, Lord, enlarge my territory, expand my borders, because he knew the God that he served, the God of Israel, was a God that had redeemed them from Egypt, passed them through the Red Sea, and brought them to the land that they were. And he said, Lord, change my story, expand my territory. Hallelujah. For many of you, your prayers are too small. If all you're praying about is God save me, give me rent, save me, give me a new job, it is a small, you're praying too small. God is saying in Psalm 2 verse 8, he says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. Asking for the nations is not a proud thing. It is not arrogance. It is your identity. It is your inheritance, tribe Abuja. Hallelujah. God wants you to grow, expand, stretch your mind, open your eyes to see as God sees. Glory to God. So as we go into the rest of the year, ask, your prayer should just be, Lord, let me see as you see. Because if you judge by the what is just in your immediate vicinity, or what you can just see and feel and experience, there's a limit to all that you become. Are you with me? Are you with me? It's possible to build godly homes, godly marriages, great businesses. God wants you to see as you see. You must have the persistence more than that of pinky and the brain. Where you wake up every day and you have a holy ambition, a holy violence, and a holy imagination. And I want to tell you that it's your holy imagination that will feed your ambition and the violence. Amen. So you pray small because you see small. Because the God, how you see God is small. So for the rest of the year, I'm praying that the tribe Abuja, that the Lord will open our eyes to see as he sees, that he expands our territories. Hallelujah. Now, territories for us is not just geographical regions. Amen. For those of you who are in the creative space, in the business space, entrepreneurial space, for those of you who want to enter into politics, nation building, governance, those are territories. Hallelujah. These are territories. And as you know, listen, tribe, some of you may not like this, but some of these territories have their gods. They have their altars that have been set up. So Paul was telling the Ephesian church in chapter 6, he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There are principalities, but we're not called to be afraid of them. Amen. We serve the God who has given us all power and all authority. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I don't know if I've shared this before, but when the tribe started 3.5 years ago, I had this very weird spiritual experience. I had a dream that someone was attacking me and telling me, who gave you permission to start the tribe? And was almost beating me up. But it was in the dream my spiritual father came and interceded for me. I've not recovered from that. It was 2 years later that we got the interpretation for that. But even as something, do you think the devil is happy that you are here? That you're listening to this, that you are worshiping, that you're giving your time to God? He will do everything, and every land, every city has its own altars that people have erected. In a nation like Nigeria, it is, with all the bloodshed going on, it is not just insecurity. That's a lie. It's not just insecurity. People are offering sacrifices. I believe that. Do you know what the displacement is doing to the north? There are denominations that have lost as many as 90% of their members in the north. So churches, entire regions, the gospel is no longer there. And you're telling me that it's just insecurity? Come on. It's a lie. Can you guys stop that, please? Just chill. Tribe, we must have holy ambitions, holy imaginations, and that will not happen until we have holy. I'm taking with holy violence. Amen. Guys, God has not planted you in your office or giving you an idea for a business or a ministry just so that you can blow. It's so that you can redeem peoples. It's so that you can redeem territories. Hallelujah. God wants to arm you with wealth so that you can redeem orphans. You can feed the hungry. You can feed the poor. So why are you not thinking bigger? It's not just about the salary. Amen. You must partner with God because God is moving. God is moving. God is doing something in our generation. We must ask what he's doing and partner with him and ask for insight, for wisdom on how to go about it. That's why we were doing our 21-day fast, because we've been saying yes to the move of God. Are you going to be God's answered prayer? Because God is looking at our generation and saying, who will go for us? Who will go to this territory? Who will go to politics and governance? Who will go to art and entertainment? Who will go to education? Our response should be, Lord, let me be your answered prayer. Just say, Lord, here I am, send me. Because God wants to redeem the entire earth. He wants to expand territories. For those of you that are already planted in a place or doing one thing or the other, a business, you need to even dream bigger. Amen. Not because God wants you to enter some kind of Forbes list or something, but because he wants you to use the resources that he will put in your stewardship to redeem people. Hallelujah. So he told Joshua, anywhere you set your feet on, I have given to you. Tribe, and I believe that promise goes with us. Hallelujah. He says, anywhere you set your feet, you have conquered that place. So when we ask for the city of Abuja, we are asking that the Lord should give us the city of Abuja. When you ask for the nations, believe that the Lord has given you the nations. When you ask for whatever sector, the creative sector, or whatever, I'm creative, so creative language is always filling my mouth, sorry. So I'm not discriminating to anyone, especially lawyers. But like any place the Lord has called you to, believe that the Lord has given you that place and see how you can go to the very end of your ability. Tribe, are we together? So that's why we're going to be consecrating ourselves with oil, as symbolic that as your pastor, I'm laying your hands and I'm agreeing with God, I'm agreeing with heaven, and saying, Lord, this person is going out as an ambassador, as an envoy, is going out to take land for you, Lord. Amen. Are you with me, Tribe Abuja? Can you stand and just start praising the name of the Lord?
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.